Hello, church. Welcome again. Confession of Faith 2021, week 9. Today is Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15. What I want to do is back up a little bit, begin in verse 13. And honestly, today, read the passage, make some comments, and then leave it with you. We'll begin with a prayer as always. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. You've given us grace upon grace upon grace, and we worship you. We give you thanks, we praise you, and we ask that you would work in our hearts, work in our minds, and use us for the advance of your kingdom in this world. In Christ we pray, amen. Okay, Colossians 1, beginning in verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Now, who is the he? You'll need to go back in your own studies and look at the context, but it is God the Father, all right? Verse 12 right here, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Glorious phrases there. Ripe for preaching and application. But I will restrain myself. The Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And now it expands upon that point. How is it that the Father has qualified us or qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light? How do you come to share in this inheritance? He, the Father, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's united us to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness, being slaves to sin, being unwitting servants of Satan, being dominated by our weakness and the corruption of our hearts. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. And he's transferred us, he's brought us over into the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So, go back up to the beginning of verse 12. Giving thanks. I would say so. We give thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Notice, God is the subject. He's the one doing something. He has delivered us. We're the direct object. We do not deliver ourselves. Now, the reason I needed to give this backdrop of the official verses today, which, let me check the calendar, is verses 15 through 20. But the main reason here is this, his beloved Son. His beloved Son, there's a paragraph break that comes after that. But everything that he begins to talk about in verse 15 is about the beloved Son. The beloved Son. Let's see, make sure it's showing up here the right way. And now on the beloved Son, he says this, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He's equal to God. He is the image of God, of the invisible God. He is perfectly, eternally the image of God in a unique way. Humans are created beings, created in the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. And it says he's the firstborn of all creation. He's the preeminent one, the preeminent being of all creation. Now, this is so important so that we do not misinterpret what that means. He tells us exactly how and why the Son is the firstborn of all creation or the preeminent one of all creation. Verse 16, because by him all things were created. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So, the Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, existed before anything was brought into existence. Any created thing was brought into existence. It's by him that all things were created, which means he is not a created thing. It's through him that all things are created, for him that all things are created. He's preeminent over all creation because he eternally precedes all creation. In fact, all of creation came into existence by him and through him and for him. One sense to say he's the firstborn of all creation is an understatement. Yeah, and that's why Paul writes so many other things about the beloved Son. Because if you just said that, it would not give the whole picture. It would be misinterpreted. We need to know how and why he's firstborn of all creation. Because he's the creator. Verse 17. And he is before all things. There you go, just in case we didn't get it. He's before all things. He's before all things. And in him all things hold together. The sustaining power, the sustaining role of the Son. This is, I'll give you a cross reference here. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3 says, works out the same idea, or 1 through 4, where the Son, the eternal Son, is creator and sustainer. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Two overarching points would be the eternal Son as creator and as redeemer. And hopefully you saw that in there. He transitioned from Son as creator and sustainer of all things. In verse 18, he very quickly goes into Christ the Son as the Redeemer. He's the head of the body, the church, the redeemed of God. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's talking about resurrection, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's talking about the incarnation, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. He's making all things right, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So anything that was created is created through and for and by the eternal Son. Anything that's redeemed and restored and renewed is redeemed, restored, renewed through and by and for the eternal Son. It's all about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, yeah, I do, actually, let's just go there, Hebrews 1, read this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Upholds being synonymous with what Paul said in Colossians 1, sustains by the word of his power after making purification for his sins. Redemption, right? Creation, now redemption. After making purification for his sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And the rest of Hebrews just fleshes all of that out and applies it pastorally in different ways. So, God is creator, and God is sustainer of all things, and God is redeemer. Jesus, the eternal Son made flesh, is creator. He's the sustainer of all things. He is redeemer. Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. For any listening or watching, I pray that you, if they do not know Christ yet, you would change their hearts. You would stir them up, show them their sin, let them know that they need a Savior, that they would flee to Christ and look to Christ and find rest in Christ. Father, this is our prayer. We glorify you. We lift your name on high. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks for joining again. Check back Sunday for Catechism 2021, the 10th Lord's Day, and then I'll see you next Monday for Confession of Faith, Week 9. God be with you.